Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Oh, what is up, everyone? Monday, March the 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you all out there. It's a manic Monday, always, around these parts. Steve Geller hanging out with you also. Charlie Long got a lot to get into this show. Everything from the NCAA tournament to some of the new Saints signings. Justin Reed, Saints safety, will be joining us after the first break. We'll also be talking to Wilson Alexander this hour, who covers LSU for The Advocate and Times-Picayune about spring football. The spring is in the air right now. The weather has been gorgeous. Will Wade, the Louisiana head coach to have made the men's basketball tournament with McNeese, will be joining us at the 520 spot. Then at 540, Saints tight end Juwan Johnson, fresh off inking his brand new deal, will join us as well. Then in the 6 o'clock hour, 625, new defensive tackle Davin Godchow, former LSU Tiger, also with the black and gold. So heavy Saints presence this show. Plenty to get into with all of them about their signings. And mentioned LSU spring football we'll be talking about with Wilson Alexander. But how about them Tigers this weekend just dominating Missouri, taking the three-game sweep over those other Tigers. LSU getting a 12-5 victory in game one, 7-6, a little bit tighter in that second matchup. And then yesterday, the Tigers pretty much had Mizzou in hand, led all the way there, getting a 10-5 victory over them. So now the Bayou Bengals, top ranked in the nation, they are sitting 20-1 on the season and 3-0 to start conference play. They'll be playing against UNO tomorrow. We'll have that game for you on WWL, a first pitch of 6:30. And then over the weekend, number two LSU, I should say, even though they swept this weekend, the Tigers drop in the standings. They'll be playing at number five Texas. So a trip to Austin for the Bayou Bengals, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, playing at number five Texas. Definitely a step up in the competition and a really true test for this Bayou Bengals squad that's been, you know, having things pretty easy of lately. Yeah, they dropped that one game to Omaha, but overall, Tigers just been so impressive. And after this weekend's game, Derek Curiel has been honored the Southeastern Conference Co-Freshman of the Week. He shares that honor with pitcher Andres Alvarez of Auburn. And Curiel helped lead LSU to four straight wins this week, including an SEC sweep over Mizzou, batting .571, two doubles, a triple, four RBI, and six runs. He's the Tigers' leadoff hitter, also walked twice and was hit by a pitch as he posted a .647 on-base percentage, batted .455 in the series against Mizzou with a triple, three RBI, four runs, and a .571 on-base percentage. His 3-1 triple in the fourth inning of Friday's game broke that 2-2 tie that there was going on and gave a lead that the Tigers would not relinquish. Curiel, number one in the SEC this season in batting average, hits, and walks. He's also number two in the league in on-base percentage. Only LSU player this season to have reached base safely in every single game this season. So, yeah, all 21 games, Derek Curiel has been on base for the Bayou Bengals. And I know you've been in tune with all this, you know, looking forward to college baseball season as well, Charlie. And, man, oh, man, not to say at all, LSU did not disappoint to start SEC play.
No, as advertised, and especially against Mizzou. We talked with Mark Etheridge last week about this, Steve, and he said banking three wins this weekend at home to start the SEC slate would be huge. LSU took care of business. I know that, you know, game two got a little bit suspect. Game three even at points was a little bit suspect despite that fast start. But a 3-0 start in SEC play is great. Now, I included in the Sports Flash as well, they fall from number one to number two because Tennessee had a crazy sweep against number seven Florida this past weekend.
That happens when you play number seven.
Yeah, the Vols have leaped, you know, the Tigers. And listen, man, if you've seen any of this discourse on Twitter, it's an absolute disaster. All these Tennessee fans.
Twitter.
No, I mean, the Tennessee fans, it's March. It's mid-March. It doesn't really matter, you know, if you're one or two. LSU, as Jay Johnson said, his team showed up. They took 3-3 against Mizzou. It's exactly what we wanted to see to start SEC play. And now, this is where it gets interesting. This upcoming weekend, they play Texas and Jim Schlossnagel. And man, you want to talk about, we said that LSU is on schedule. Texas may be ahead of schedule. Yeah. They just went to Starkville and took 3-3 from Mississippi State. They're one of the 3-0 teams in SEC play. They're number 8 in the country. Oh man, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, seeing here, actually, whatever rankings it is, you know, LSU putting out the previews for the weekend, they got number 2 LSU at number 5 Texas. So I don't know if that's Baseball America or one of the other standings that they have Texas ranked the top 5 team. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and also we got a top 5 matchup.
Yeah, our friends over at D1 have them at 8. It's different publications.
That's what's wild about college baseball, too. How many different rankings do we need?
Yeah, there's not really an AP poll. Like, there's the coaches poll, there's D1, Baseball America has a poll. It's all these different services. We technically use D1 most of the time because we love the D1 guys.
Right.
That's why we have them on the show so often. But yeah, Steve, I mean, I think the one word that you can really take away from this weekend is as expected for LSU. I mean, there are some things to clean up. Specifically, you know, Kate Anderson was awesome in game one. He had that, like, back-to-back hits where he gave up a single and then a home run in, like, the second inning. But outside of that, he was fantastic. The one thing that could potentially be cleaned up is maybe the starting pitching. Anthony Ianson and Chase Schwartz, neither of them made it out of the fourth inning.
Start, right.
Yeah, so that's something to keep an eye on. But the bullpen was really good, so that's kind of the flip-flop. Yes, your starting pitching wasn't good the final 2 days. You still picked up wins, and the bullpen was really solid. I know that Jay has called Zach Cowan the best bullpen pitcher in America early on, and I think it's kind of hard to argue. He's been fantastic. Maverick Rizzi had an excellent showing this past on Sunday in Game 3. And just a couple bullpen pieces that have really stepped up. William Schmidt, I thought, was a little bit amped in his performance, Steve. Like, he couldn't really find the zone. He was struggling a little bit. But that's kind of what you expect from a freshman making his debut in SEC play. I'm not worried about him at all. I figured that he would be used in kind of a high-leverage moment to start his career in conference play out of the bullpen. But, yeah, no, it was a great start. There's not much to really complain about, you know, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, you looked at the Mizzou pitching. Boy, oh boy, did they struggle. How many free passes did they end up giving to LSU? I felt like either walks or hit batters were like the plagued them all weekend long.
But that's kind of what we previewed entering everything, like entering the first weekend series of SEC play, is that Mizzou, they can swing the bat. They were hitting over 300 entering the series, but they also had the worst ERA in the SEC at 6.2. And that only went up because LSU scored 12 runs, 7 runs, and 10 runs in the 3-game weekend set. So great performance by the Tiger bats, but it was kind of to be expected.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long hanging out with you. Be right back with more on WWL after this break, so stay tuned.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk, Charlie Long, Steve Geller hanging out with you. We were talking about LSU baseball's sweep of Mizzou over the weekend. We got some Pelicans basketball tonight. The Birds in action taking on the Detroit Pistons in the Smoothie King Center. We'll have that action for you. A 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off on the big 870 AM.
Steve, is Kate Cunningham an All-NBA player this year for the Pistons? That's a real question. He's 10th in the league in scoring. He's third in the league in assists. And the Pistons, who have just been miserable for the past half decade, all of a sudden aren't just in the play-in race, they're in the playoffs. If the season ended today, they're the sixth seed in the East.
I feel like they secured that sixth seed too. There's some distance, Charlie, you know, trying to catch up to them.
Yeah, they're just trying to potentially get upwards of the four seed, right, and see if they can host a first round playoff series.
Wild, considering where Detroit was.
And it's really, you know, it's interesting to kind of look at what's happened. We always mention Memphis, right? The quote unquote gap year that they had taken this past season, where they had all those injuries that just torpedoed their 2024 season.
Right.
And then they get a lottery pick and they add Zach Edey to that roster, and all of a sudden they're right back in the playoff contention. And that's what you're kind of hoping happens with the Pelicans. But I think the Pistons are a great example of one season turnarounds. It can happen in the NBA. So you just got to kind of get the right pieces in place. And, you know, hopefully the Pelicans can get as high of a lottery pick as possible and they can get a stud.
I was pretty critical of Detroit too, you know, moving on from Monty Williams so quickly, but I guess that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was an interesting situation as well, though, because the Cavaliers moved on from J.B. Bickerstaff, and Bickerstaff became available. He goes to Detroit, and it works out for them. But now Kenny Atkinson is the head coach in Cleveland, and he's got Cleveland with one of their best starts ever. So it was a win-win situation of a coaching change for both Cleveland and Detroit. And so, I don't know, Steve, the Pistons are 7.5-point favorites tonight in the Smoothie King Center. We'll see what happens, right? Like, I think they've lost two straight, including a loss to the Wizards.
Right.
So anything can happen tonight.
Anything can happen with the Pelicans. We know that well.
That is a fact. But we'll see what happens. You know, I'm not super confident because the Pistons have had such an incredible season, but they also just lost to the Wizards. So.
Yeah, you look at this Pel squad. The problem is, too, you know, it's been a mishmash of starting lineup and who's on the floor for this team right now. There's no real continuity with the roster.
Yeah, Zion, I think, will be playing tonight, as he missed the last game due to personal reasons. So
yeah, haven't heard any much on that front. On if
we're still
available.
Waiting on the official injury report, right. That I think is supposed to be coming down basically any minute at this point. It's 4:27 right now, and the game's in 2.5 hours. So we'll have a better idea of it later on. But specifically, you know, the matchup against the Pistons, I think this is the first time that they've played this year, and then the Pels play the Pistons again basically in a couple games. So you're facing a team that's heading towards postseason aspirations in the Eastern Conference. They're trying to win as many games as possible, and you got them back-to-back in March. That's not necessarily back-to-back, but very close to each other in March, and that's not very fun.
Yeah, no, Eve Missy also missed last game as he's dealing with an ankle sprain. Curious to see any updates on him if he's able to come back into action, because, you know, not like thinking he's going to be this world beater for this team, but it's nice to get him these minutes. I don't think a lot was expected from anybody out of the rookie this season. He's definitely played a lot more than most felt was going to happen, and I just want to see his development continuing with just, 14 games left on the year now.
Well, just like I said, that Cade Cunningham deserves to be an All-NBA performer after his season this year. I think Eve Missy clearly deserves a spot on the All-NBA rookie team. He's been great, and you got him at pick 21. That's
bravo, Pels.
As much, you know, crap as the Pelicans front office
exactly.
can catch, some of the draft picks in recent years, really, they have hit home runs. And I think Eve Missy, the ceiling of the kid, it makes you really salivate, because I've asked some buddies that watch a ton of hoops, like, who do you see when you see Eve Missy, right? And I've heard answers like Clint Capella, when he was young and played for the Houston Rockets. I've heard answers like Jared Allen from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I can see it. Like, you have... People don't realize how hard it is to find kind of a core center, like the core big man, the five. You're starting five of the future. And the Pels clearly have that with Eve Missy, and that's very exciting.
We're talking hoops, Charlie. Have you filled out your NCAA tournament?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. See, that's what I have to delve into tonight before the play-in action. The first four action starts.
I hate filling out brackets, because I'll do it and I'll have a bunch of chalk in like late rounds, Elite Eight matchups, 1v2, 1v2, 1v2. I'm like, wait, what am I doing? And hopefully later on this week, Steve, we'll get on some of our college hoops guests and kind of break it all down a little bit further. But I don't know about you, man. It feels like the 1 and 2 seeds this year are better than they have been in years past. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the weakest one seed is the one that hasn't been playing well, and that's Auburn, and they're the number one overall seed, but you still have Houston, who's been awesome. Duke is probably the best team in the country, and Florida is playing like the best team in the country. So you like all the one seeds, and then the two line, Michigan State could have potentially been a one seed. They're right up there. St. John's with Rick Pitino, like, their revival has been a great storyline to follow. They won the Big East regular season and the championship. And then on the opposite side of the bracket, you have Tennessee, who was in the SEC championship. They're really good. And then Alabama, who can beat anyone on any given night. So the 1 and 2 seeds this year, very, very enticing. Now,
tough not to go chalk, right?
And that's really why I hate doing it, because I know that at least a few of those teams that I just mentioned 8 teams, at least like 3 of those probably don't get past the Sweet 16 and make it even to the Elite Eight. So it's a little bit nerve-wracking playing that game, but I feel very confident in the top seeds this year, the 2 seeds as well. I think the chaos is going to happen, you know, the 5, 6 seed, 7 seed, stuff like that.
On the men's side of things, only one Louisiana school made it. Good old Will Wade and McNeese.
Yeah, we'll be talking to them pretty soon here, Steve, in about an hour. But McNeese making it to their second straight NCAA tournament. And last year did not go as well as, you know, a lot of folks expected. They were a very trendy pick for a first-round
right.
upset. And Gonzaga said, nah. Yeah, exactly. I think they've made like 9 straight Sweet 16s as a program. Gonzaga is a monster program. So, but they have a tough little matchup now, too. They have to play Georgia and then potentially Houston in the second round to get back to the Sweet 16. It doesn't look great for them. As far as McNeese goes, they play Clemson in that same bracket. It's the 5 seed.
Right.
So they get their second straight 12-5 matchup. As we mentioned, last year didn't go very well when they were in a 12-5 matchup, but we'll see if they can, you know, hand the Tigers an upset loss.
They play Thursday, right?
Yeah, Clemson's 7.5-point favorites in that matchup. So it's you know, McNeese isn't expected to win, but we'll see if they can pull off an upset.
Yeah, definitely curious to see what Will Wade can do. And I know a lot of LSU fans out there, you know, have hopes and dreams that he would return to the Tigers. That's all nice and well thought, but I just don't see that happening. I'm sorry.
It's not going to. And the kind of question is, what's next for Will? There's been reports about some schools with interest in him.
NC State, right?
NC State's the big one.
Right.
And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, he's going to come on here and be like, I am completely focused on McNeese versus Clemson. And I understand. Clemson's also his alma mater, fun fact. So, you know, but he's going up against them in the first round. So he's going to have the coach speak or whatever. We're not really going to get into that. We're going to get into the first round matchup. But it is intriguing to see what his potential, what his future will be.
Looking with Will Wade, you know, just really impressive what he's been able to do now 2 years at McNeese. Obviously, back-to-back seasons of making it to the NCAA tournament. And shoot, that's all we want from this men's LSU basketball team is be relevant.
Steve, did you see that they declined the NIT invitation?
They're like, we don't even want to take part in that.
And I get it. You know, it was kind of a miserable year once SEC play started.
Just end it, right.
By the way, 14 teams from the SEC making the NCAA tournament is insane. I know that our coworker, Jeff,
I was going to say, shout out to Jeff, who thinks they're overrated.
Jeff is not a fan of that decision. However, you know, just based off their dominance in non-conference play and then all the top teams that they kept cycling through throughout conference play, it makes sense. And so 14 teams from the SEC made it to the NCAA tournament. Coach McMahon needs to figure out how to get the Tigers in that number. I mean, that's really all it comes down to.
This was year three now for Coach McMahon, and I know there's still a lot of growing pains there. I feel like we've got to see something year four, and I know the Tigers program has talked about being more committed to supporting the program with more NIL money, and obviously that's what it's all about nowadays. How much are you going to spend?
So here's an interesting stat for you that I saw on Twitter earlier. Jeff Goodman, who covers basketball and college hoops for the Field of 68, had a really interesting tweet earlier today, Steve, and said three of the top five teams this season in NIL, Kansas State did not make the NCAA tournament, Indiana did not make the NCAA tournament, and Arkansas snuck in as a 10 seed. NIL doesn't make up everything. You understand, like, kind of the point that I'm making there? Yes, it will help, and that's kind of the idea that LSU is putting out there right now, is that if they give Coach McMahon more funds, then they can charge into the NCAA tournament and get back into relevance and a gauntlet of an SEC. You got to show it to me. You know what I mean? Like, you have to prove it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you increase the NIL budget, that Coach McMahon can get LSU back into relevance and back into the conversation where they're in the Field of 68. So, you know, I'm hopeful, but it's got to happen.
Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Looking at the women's side of things, though, what do you know? Another year that the LSU women's basketball team is the 3 seed. Kim Mulkey's got the Lady Tigers, you know, trying to get another title under her. I know they've dealt with some injuries this year, but I believe Flage is back, and so is Anissa Morrow.
Yeah, loading up for the NCAA tournament. And they have a late start in the Baton Rouge regional.
What was it, like a 9 o'clock?
Like 9:15 against, I'm pretty sure, let me double check here, San Diego State.
Right, correct.
It's just like, why? Why is it that late? That's strange to me, Steve. I know that the scheduling is different.
Feel like you're doing the West Coast team a favor there.
Yeah, for sure. But also, you know, it's in Baton Rouge.
Right.
9:15 Central Time tip is just odd. I don't know.
I'm sure the PMAC will end up rocking that night anyway, with LSU hosting there. And, you know, that's something with Kim Mulkey's squad. Curious to see how they bounce back after dealing with those injuries at the end of the season. I know the SEC tournament did not go the way Miss Mulkey wanted.
Yeah, with the NCAA women's bracket as well, Steve, LSU, I think every single season that they've been in the postseason under Coach Mulkey has been a 3 seed.
Right.
It's nothing new
been
for them.
Been there, done that, right. Looking at some of the news out of the NFL today, seeing that the Philadelphia Eagles, what do you know, have added another pass rusher, ex-New York Giant Azeez Ojulari, to the mix over there. I thought it was interesting the other day you shared with me, I forget whose ratings it was, that Philadelphia getting an F for free agency, and I guess that's with all the bodies they ended up, you know, losing in the mess, and also a trade of C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, like Mekhi Becton is gone. You know, that was a weird list. I don't exactly know why you could possibly give them an F for what they've done so far this offseason. But Steve, speaking of the NFL and the signings that were made, I mean,
the big one that we're all interested
in
here.
Well, a couple of big ones. I mentioned in the Sports Flash, Ja'Marr Chase getting a 4-year, $161.5 million contract from the Cincinnati Bengals with $112 million guaranteed. And you know, we always talk about the guarantee money. The guarantee money's
112 guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a ton. But here's the thing. the 40.25 million average annual value of that contract is the most of any non-quarterback in NFL history.
Ding, ding, ding,
and here's what's kind of funny about it, because this was a record that was set like a week ago,
right,
with Myles Garrett signing an extension with the Cleveland Browns. And maybe this was like a 3D chess move by Cleveland saying, okay, we're going to give Myles Garrett 40 million average annual value, and if you want to make Jamar the highest paid non-quarterback, you got to go above that,
right,
for a wide receiver, which is wild. And then they also paid T. Higgins. And so this is where the conversation that we had with Mark Schlereth kind of comes into play. The Cincinnati Bengals pushing all their chips into the center of Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins, who signed a 4-year, $115 million contract. He actually got paid, you know, less than 30 average annual value, which is kind of interesting. I guess it's because he's a wide receiver too, obviously behind Jamar Chase. I think he could have potentially gone elsewhere, got wide receiver one money, and got paid over 30 per. But I think T wanted to stay with Joe, and he wanted to stay with Jamar and kind of have that trio and try and go contend in the AFC.
What else can they afford now?
That's the issue, is that they
they're trying to get Trey Hendrickson locked up.
No, Trey's gone.
I doubt that's going to be happening.
You can't pay Trey at this point. You basically had your choice of, do we pay T. Higgins
or Trey?
Or do we pay Trey Hendrickson?
Right.
They decided that they were going to pay T.
Who needs defense?
Exactly. I mean, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, yes, it's exciting. You got Burrow and Chase and Higgins locked down. But you better hit on the draft. And especially draft defensive players and hit on those guys. Because at this point, you have so much of the salary cap dedicated to three players on offense. How much can you really do to build the other, you know, 19 players on the field? You know what I mean? It's a weird situation there. But they're all in. I mean, we'll see what happens. But this is what I wanted to bring up. Glenn West from Go247 had a great tweet on this. Joe Burrow making $275 million on his contract was an NFL record at the time. Jamar Chase, as we just mentioned, the $161.5 million that he signed for was the most of any non-quarterback in the NFL. Justin Jefferson, the $140 million that he signed, was a record at the time that he signed it for non-quarterback. And then Derek Stingley, who we haven't just brought up yet.
LSU.
Yeah, $90 million over 3 years with the Houston Texans. That $30 million average annual value is an NFL record for cornerbacks. So a few former Tigers from that 2019 National Championship team getting paid at the NFL level.
Mighty impressive in the salary aspect. You look at things and, yeah, that 2019 National Championship, I've seen a bunch of tweets, you know, everyone just saying the best college football team of all time. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah, and Mike brings it up. It's the first billion-dollar college football team.
Billion!
With all the players in the NFL. Between those four, just alone, that I mentioned, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Derek Stingley, just under $667 million. I'm saying.
We are taking a break here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long. Be right back with more. So stay tuned after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Going till 7 o'clock this evening, the Jay Johnson Show, the inaugural episode of Jay Johnson speaking with us. We know that the Tigers had a heck of a weekend starting out SEC play 3-0. And the Tigers just kept the wins churning out. Tigers taking down the Tigers. Have a tough one coming up this weekend, though, when they go on the road to play at Texas. And a lot of storylines, obviously, there. You mentioned Schlossnagel.
4-3-0 teams in SEC play so far. Tennessee is one of them. LSU's another. It's Texas. Oh, boy. And I'm forgetting the last one.
Uh-oh.
Give me a second here. Anyways, but yeah, it's going to be LSU versus Texas in that second weekend series of SEC play. The level of competition takes a step up. Schlossnagel's got pedigree. He wins every single place that he goes. And he's already off to a great start with UT. So it's going to be a challenge.
Alabama.
Thank you.
No problem.
Who did Alabama? I think they swept. Texas A&M. That was it. Oh, my goodness. So talking about Schlossnagel, he makes the leap from Texas A&M, who was in the national championship game last season.
Crazy, right?
Or the series. And then he makes the leap over to Texas, and it was a very highly publicized move, which was very scrutinized. He didn't do it in the best way, but he's a winner. And Texas is already off to a great start under his leadership. Meanwhile, Texas A&M is floundering right now. I mean, everyone kept kind of saying, oh, you know, like, they'll figure it out. They still got all this talent on this roster. And then they start SEC play and they get swept by Bama.
Looking at LSU as well, Softball team just keeps chugging along like the baseball team does too. Sadly, I have not kept up with the Tiger softball this year.
No, I've been keeping up with the other side of the diamond more often, Steve.
Right, exactly.
With LSU baseball and Coach Johnson. But I know that softball is, I believe, a top five team in the country right now.
Yeah, looking at them, the ranked number four currently. And like I mentioned, the wins just keep pouring out for Coach Beth Tarina's squad. And I feel like, you know, she's done a pretty good job of getting this team ready for postseason play. But when postseason's arrived,
yeah,
the softball team hasn't been able to show up.
Right. And I think the SEC is fantastic in softball as well, just like they are. And the additions everything. the additions of Oklahoma and Texas on both diamond sports are real. Like, so that's what's going to make this upcoming weekend series for LSU baseball so exciting, is because this is the first time that they'll face Texas's conference opponents. So, UT versus LSU this weekend. I think if you're previewing the SEC's week two matchups, just like we did this past weekend, you know, the Tennessee-Florida series was very highly anticipated. Tennessee sweeps Florida, which was why they leapfrogged LSU to number one in the standings. But for weekend number two, I think this LSU at Austin for a matchup against UT, which is a top 10 battle, that's probably the premium matchup in the conference. And when you have so many teams ranked in the top 25, you're bound to have a lot of top 25 matchups week to week. But, you know, top 10 matchups are special, Steve, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, the Lady Tigers on the diamond ended up getting a sweep of Kentucky over the weekend. They're now 27-1, 3-0 in conference play. So, yeah, on the diamond, just LSU Tigers dominating all around, LSU softball, LSU baseball. Looking forward to hearing more from Coach Jay Johnson tonight on the Jay Johnson Show, coming up on 7 on WWL. Looking at some more stuff over the weekend, did you get into watching any other basketball besides the Pels at all? Because I saw a little bit of the Boston Celtics, but other than that, was really locked in on some of the other things going on.
I was watching all the conference tournament stuff.
Right.
In the NCAA. I watched the SEC tournament, which is why, you know, early on, I'm going to fill out my bracket. I've basically got it filled out. I got to pick my champion, and that's still kind of holding me back a little bit. But Florida is so good. And once again, we'll talk with some March Madness folks and college basketball guests later on in the week. But is there a team that, you know, doesn't have a weakness like Florida does? They got good guard play. They got good big play. They play good offense. They play good defense. Everything about them is just solid.
Right. They're tough.
I know. So, and poor Jeff, his UConn Huskies have a potential second-round matchup with Florida on opening weekend. That's also really tough.
Oh, but he's bringing them with confidence, though. He believes in the Huskies. I think I got you, but they're definitely in for it this year.
They're the four seed, right, as far as the top one seeds out there. Auburn was the top overall seed, and then Duke is number two, Houston's three, and Florida is number four. But you'll hear this said a lot leading up in the NCAA tournament. Is there a team that's playing better basketball right now than Florida? And I don't think there is. As far as the, you know, how hot they are entering the NCAA tournament, they won the SEC tournament, which was a gauntlet in its own right. But man, they are so, so impressive. How they just manhandled Alabama. And then the very next game in the SEC championship, they took down Tennessee, who had just taken down Auburn, the number one team in the country. Yeah, there's a lot to like about Florida. I know that Duke on the opposite side of the bracket is going to have a lot of people picking up too. We'll see what happens with the health of Cooper Flagg. But man, I like that Florida team a lot.
You think Flagg's going to end up being available?
I think so.
I'm curious to see how this injury goes for him.
They'll probably hold him out of that 116 matchup.
Right. I would imagine that too.
I mean,
doesn't make sense.
They were able to win the, you know, ACC championship without him. So they have a good enough roster to take down a 16 seed. I don't think that's an issue. But then once you get to that second matchup against either Mississippi State or Baylor, at that point, you probably try and bring him back. But Coach Shire of Duke basically came out and said that, you know, they were holding him out. It wasn't worth it to risk him in the ACC tournament. But then, you know, with the once you get to NCAA tournament play, obviously that's what matters more.
Yeah, looking at, we mentioned the news today, them making a move where they add Aaron Rodgers to the mix. Are you going to stick with J.J. McCarthy?
I don't think there's a better situation for a young quarterback to be walking into than what J.J. is going into with the Vikings. I mean, he misses his rookie campaign. He misses his rookie campaign. He comes back. He's going to be healthy this upcoming year. I think it's also kind of telling that we haven't seen a signing yet with Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he'll end up being a Minnesota Viking. They still probably need a veteran backup on that team because JJ hasn't taken an NFL snap yet.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But as far as the team that they've built around JJ and, you know, that rookie quarterback contract,
yeah,
it is legit, Steve. I mean,
that's why if I'm in Rodgers, I'm listening to what the Vikings have to say. But as for like a Tennessee Titans or a New York Giants, is it really worth coming back for that?
No. I mean, the Vikings won 14 games this past season. They were basically a game away from winning, you know, the NFC North and being the one seed. And
Sam Darnold get paid.
Exactly. And Sam got paid by Seattle. I mean, he got a $100 million contract over there. But as far as building out their roster, like this offseason, I don't think there's a single team that's gone as hard at building out their trenches and, you know, their just defense specifically as well to kind of reload for this upcoming season. I think the Vikings have been awesome, but it all kind of comes down to the trigger man and if JJ can really get it done.
No, that's a curious situation there, and because we know that whole season, his rookie year was just squandered for McCarthy due to injury. So we don't know what this kid really has yet.
He isn't taking an NFL snap,
no. So
you can't really crown him. But what they've done so far has been very impressive, building their trenches. And I got nothing but good things to say about what Minnesota's done this offseason. However, the big question mark still is there. What are they doing at quarterback? And
right. If
they are committing to JJ, you better go get a backup.
Let's take a break here on Sports Talk. When we return, more about the LSU baseball team and anything else you want to talk about. Obviously, Black and Gold News, they had some introductory press conferences today with a couple of players. We'll talk about that and more coming back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Closing out this hour of Sports Talk, I want to remind everybody, celebrate New Orleans' best local music with WWL on the Odyssey app at the Young Leadership Council's Wednesday at the Square. It all starts this Wednesday. This concert series at Lafayette Square starting 5 p.m. The band this week, Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes with N-O-A-B-A-B-E, presented by Abita Brewing, the LYC, and WWL. Coming back with more after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.